welcome to the New York Society Library. I'm Mark Bartlett, the head librarian, and I'm so glad that you were able to come out on this rather gray, ponderous evening, but we'll have a very special night. The library is pleased to offer an ongoing series of diverse events with authors, scholars, and performers. For a list of our upcoming events, please pick up one of our event calendars for those of you who are new to the library. And if you're a computer person, check our website. We list all of our events there as well. I would like to take a quick moment to thank all of our library members who donate and support our annual appeal. It's that time of the year again, so we appreciate your help in helping us pay for the costs of our book discussion groups, our collection, our children's library, and all of the great things that happen in this library. We are also starting to welcome underwriting of our programs, which is really a new venture for the library. So an event like this, we are looking for support in future years to help us do everything we do in the library. After the event tonight, we do have books and audiobooks that are for sale in the Peluso Family Exhibition Gallery, and both our speakers who are with us tonight will be happy to sign copies. It is my pleasure to introduce both of tonight's speakers, Thomas Flynn and Jim Dale. Thomas Flynn, as many of you know, is an award-winning television producer and writer. He covered the events of 9/11 in New York for CBS News after charging to the scene on his bicycle. Searching for an appropriate voice and medium to share his experience, he chose the form of the epic poem. Bike Man is the result. Flynn's colleague Dan Rather says of it, "What Tom has set down here are the reports of the journalist as poet or poet as journalist. The two are not so far apart as some may think. These dispatches in verse tell the story of a journey into a modern underworld and of the escape that made it possible to tell the tale. Here is a survivor's lament related by one who did not live through it, but just did not die." In our event tonight, Mr. Flynn will discuss the genesis of his work, of course, and we will be entertained by some illustrations and readings by Jim Dale. Jim Dale, for those of you who know of Harry Potter, is known very well as the audiobook reader of Harry Potter. I learned today, because I was doing my last-minute research, that he's also has a long history with the Carry On movies from England, and of course he's also very well known as a stage actor, comedian, singer, and songwriter. So please join me now in welcoming Tom Flynn and Jim Dale.
It's a pleasure to be here. Let me introduce Jim. We can talk about the genesis of all of how this book got to be an epic poem, but a couple of notes, we'll do that later. A couple of notes about it. Epic poetry is a very old, as I know you all know, form of writing, of storytelling. And that's what it is. It's not meant to keep you away or challenge you or keep you up at night. It's not that kind of poetry. It's storytelling poetry. It's supposed to be an accessible form. It's just a heightened language with a very imagistic kind of language to try to describe an epic event, which, of course, 9/11 was for all of us. So with that, I wrote a story, and that's what you're going to hear tonight. Jim did the audio book, for which I am forever grateful. It saves me from reading here tonight. he's just a wonderful person and a very, very special treat for all of you. He is going to read excerpts of it. Just to go back on that storytelling thing a minute. This book, like The Queen of Hearts, right, starts at the beginning, goes through to the end, and then stops. That's the way the story goes. What you're going to hear tonight are excerpts, so it's going to jump ahead sometimes. So if it feels like you've missed something, the fact is you have. And you can either get the audiobook or the real book or both and fill in the parts that are missing. But I give you Jim Dale. say something. I wanted to say thank you to Sarah Holliday for inviting us here. She's around. Where? There she is. I hadn't said that before. If you have a question, I'll be happy to try to answer it. No, it still stays with me, you know. I couldn't do what Jim just did. I can't read it. I fall apart. It took me about 4 years before I started. And then it took me about 2 years of mostly rewriting. It took me a summer to write the first draft, and then about 2 years of rewriting. And then it's been about a year since I finished it. I didn't do it for that purpose, you know. It was something I just really felt like I had to write and didn't know what form it was going to take. And heavens knows you shouldn't be writing an epic poem if you really want to get your work published. Very much so. It was a coincidence of things. It was springtime, and I was, you know how you do, just looking around for something to read. I'd finished whatever it was I was reading, and I didn't have another book on the bedside stand, so I started poking around, and I saw the Dante's Inferno, which I'd read in high school. If I recall correctly, it was John Ciardi's wonderful translation. And so I started to read that, and at the same time I had, to your point, started to go through notes. I had made about 4 or 5 pages of single-spaced notes right after getting out. It was maybe the first or second day I took those notes. And I'd put them away. I pulled them out and started rereading them with an eye toward finally getting down to writing something about that morning. And so it was a combination of rereading those notes and thinking about what I was going to write, and then rereading Dante's Inferno, and boy, do they live together. I mean, in so many ways. In fact, in more ways than really, I like to say, if you feel like assigning yourself a task, read Bike Man, and then reread the Inferno, and you'll see how much I ripped off Dante. Or as a friend of mine corrected me when I said that once, he says, it's an homage, Tom, it's an homage. But yeah.
I think this is a terrific opportunity to bring out what 7 years has brought to us. I'd almost like to say that your reference to Dante and what you read in high school may be a different experience than many of those, not just say us, but many of those in the public world have experienced in high school, namely what's happening to education. So reading this poem tonight, I think it was fantastic, and I thank Sir Dale for it. The experience was very, very moving. And I think Sarah should take this upon herself to, in a sense, excite people about the importance of oral history, of people relating their personal history. I mean, all of us, and I was alerted by my wife on the telephone. Look at television.
No, but this is something that I maintain. It's all our story, and the point is that we shared that experience immediately. Everybody was involved in that, from some distance perhaps, but it was a shared experience throughout this country, probably throughout the world, and so this story becomes, as you read it, your story. It is all of our stories, and unlike, I just can't think of any example, but if you were to go back to, say, World War II And you think about the reporting that was done, wonderful reporting, of course, but it was reporting that was done on D-Day or on Pearl Harbor. It was 3 or 4 days later, or maybe a day later, it was through somebody else's eyes, the whole of the story that you got. You couldn't see that. You couldn't partake of it. You couldn't experience it and all the emotions that went with it until you got to read about it. So you were reading an early version of history. This was, nobody had to report this to you. You experienced it. So it is, I think, very much a shared experience.
Did you write as a journalist right at the time?
Oh, sure.
And was it written or was it on air or what?
Well, it was written down and then read on air, yeah.
And you must obviously have all those notes. It's a lot of what's in there, also in the phone.
Not so much. Those notes, the notes I took this from, nobody was particularly interested in one person's story at that time. They were interested in what happened, what's going to happen, where are we, you know, another building fell down, and is there another jet? And so it was more of that. So these notes kind of went dormy there for about 4 years. But I will say that there are references in here that of reporting that I did. All those people. Those stories are real. Many of those people up in the towers. Squad 18, which is around the corner from me, lost 6 of 7 firefighters. And there is a line about them. So there's some of my reporting in this, but there was none of this in my reporting, if that answers. I've not met Avi. No. Interesting. Not sure I want to, but I haven't yet, no. And the bike was stolen, if you want to know. Many times people want to know what happened to the bike. It's another New York story, you know. That wouldn't have happened in Detroit, you know. I would, of course, vote for him to read it every year, but that would be my personal vote.
Have you ever read J.E. by Arthur Bonnet?
No. I know the book, but I haven't read it, no.
When I was in college, it was a contact play. I had forgotten after reading your poem that the line, my baby, just like Sarah, Joe's wife, cried after a nuclear holocaust.
I didn't rip him off.
No.
I'll give credit where it's due.
I think he would find it
JB, yeah. I've got it. I've got the book.
The one by McLeish.
Well, I think so.
The play.
It's the play, yeah. My wife has that. Well, I've got my reading.
Where did you come from that morning when you were on your bike?
Where did I leave from?
Yeah.
I live in the village. Milligan Place, you probably don't know it. Do you know it? It's the smallest street in the city. It's unusual. It's between 10th and 11th Street on the west side of 6th Avenue. Yeah, you do know it. Yep. I went down the bike path. I went over to the river and went down the bike path. And yes, that's right. Right. 9th Street, Christopher Street. Right down to the bike path, and then that's on the west side, for those of you who don't know the city geography, I'm sure you all know. And then, but about where the new Stuyvesant High School is, right there, was when the second plane hit, where I was. So I had gotten down there pretty promptly and then went around on the Esplanade pretty much the way I came back and got down to Liberty Street and West Street. That was the southwest corner of the South Tower at the time, and found a cameraman. My whole point was to find a cameraman. And I got one. That was easy. It turned out the fellow was the audiovisual department. This is the whole department for Merrill Lynch. What used to be Merrill Lynch. What's going on? Ground Zero, yes, but I went down with Dan Rather a couple of times to do some reporting. We shot some stories, several of them actually, but I didn't go down to the point where I was, no. And I didn't try to follow where I had been until just last week or 2 weeks ago. A reporter said, let's get on some bikes and go down there. Would you mind showing me around? I said, no, I wouldn't mind at all. I just hadn't done it. Hadn't called Avi either, but and that was the first time that I'd gotten down there and worked through the path, because I wasn't sure where everything, and I'm still not sure where everything is, but I did figure out more or less the path that I took and how I got out. The garage is still there. Yeah, the building is still there. It was pretty wrecked and they rebuilt it, but it stood. That particular building stood. But the exteriors of all those buildings in that area were just totally stripped from the tower. But yeah, it's still there.
Didn't it take you a long time to recuperate from the air?
You know, I coughed for a long time, and that's pretty much gone away, although I still occasionally cough. But it's abated a lot. I still do, though. Sometimes. It might have been from ragweed. I don't know. I mean, we all cough occasionally. God knows. Yeah. And they were. Yeah. Well, whatever it was, it's there, probably. Although most of it seems to have gone. I coughed a lot early on, and then that's eased off. I don't think I've coughed here tonight. Do you know, that's the funny thing? I have the videotape that my Merrill Lynch guy shot. I hired him for CBS, so I have the tape. And on the tape, after the tower collapsed and people are leaving the scene that Jim read there, a lot of them have those masks. Where did they get them?
We all have.
You do? Well, they had them on.
Yeah, so.
I thought, gee, you know.
Now they're better. I mean, now the stuff that you have in the bag is better. They do occasional alarm tests, and you have to bring your bag.
Yeah,
so
me, I didn't have one.
Because of the 1993? I think so.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very tall, though. I mean, I know it's only 50 foot, before you get the book, so.
Wow.
I think there are a lot of.
Which North Tower is that?
No, not there. No, I'm in the General Motors building.
Oh,
right.
Okay. Don't leave.
Yeah.
Oh.
But these traumas of our era, I lived in Tokyo for a long time, and I had a friend who was a Japanese newspaper editor who spoke English very well, who had grown up in Nagasaki. His father was an English teacher there. And he mentioned how during the war, to practice his English, he would go to the tent where the American downed air pilot
that was epic. It's got to be epic. I mean, to take on this kind of style of storytelling, you got to have, you know, a friend of mine said, well, why don't you write another one? I said, well, you know, taking the garbage down to the dump, you know, what are you going to do it on? You know? I hope I never have another one. Well, you guys have been wonderful. And they should.
Which, yes, which I have to take them there, but I always hate calling it ground zero because I don't like being the target all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I work up the tower on the green every day after 9/11 at 5 o'clock, the smoke would come up.
Yep.
For 5 years.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But
well, for a long time.
Then I was taking a whole group of executives from all over the world around town. One of them, and of course part of their trip was to see ground zero, but the German executives would have nothing of it because they had seen enough.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, don't want to read this.
No.
And they tell me that. They say, you know, I'm glad you've done this and good luck with it and all, but I can't read it.
Yeah.
You know, it's still too early for some people to.
See, an environment like this is the whole point that I'm trying to understand and appreciate, is that what Jim Dale did was not simply share the experience, but had us be able to share the experience with each other in the ways that we don't usually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Sorry.
Thank you. I agree.